What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Tomlin with a scouting report on Trevor Lawrence from a couple of years ago. That is relevant because of the discussion on social media all day, started by Ryan Burr, who was a former FS1 Pittsburgh sports anchor who went on to work at the Golf Channel Malzahn. You're probably familiar with his work from there. Also, ESPN is a sports center anchor.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Ryan's work as a guest on our show before.
Yes. Yeah, he's been on. He talked about Ben Roethlisberger being in the best shape of his life. Too good a shape, as a matter of fact.
On a diet stricter than that of TB12.
And so Ryan will join us to talk about the details of this report. Both the Jaguars and the Steelers have come out and denied it. Kabali is the one that is the newsbreaker on the Steelers' end of things.
Okay.
Which I don't get that part of it.
What part of it?
I don't get why the Steelers would deny this.
It's not like they have a quarterback under contract that anybody took as their starter that they would be offending by this.
Right. I think that this move of looking into Trevor Lawrence, if it's true, reflects well on them. I give them credit for that. You don't?
No,
You're ready to make a noise. I couldn't tell what you were ready to say with that.
Just carefully considering my words. I think it makes them look good in the sense that it at least suggests that they understand that what they had last year is not good enough and they are open to exploring other potentially non-traditional avenues. So in that sense, I think it makes them look good. I guess maybe the only way you could spin it and say it makes them look bad or desperate is like you can make an argument that it's just like they're throwing a random dart at the board here and just hoping something hits. Like there's not maybe a plan or there's not like a calmness about them where they would say, you know what? What we're really going to do here is we've already scouted 2026's quarterback class. We like several guys in that class. We're going to really bring Justin Fields back here on a very clear-headed, like, two-year deal. He is a bridge quarterback who's got a chance to Sam Darnold his way into big money elsewhere, something like that. And then our real next quarterback is a 21-year-old kid who's got to play another year of college ball. Like, if you wanted to spin it negatively, you'd say they just keep flailing around trying to find somebody, Mr. Right now, not Mr. Right. Here's the other thing. I think you can also spin it negatively if you are inclined to do so, and certainly I think around 4:07 yesterday on the show, I was inclined to spin everything negatively about them. If you think that they are inquiring about a guy like Trevor Lawrence because they really believe they are a Trevor Lawrence away from being a Super Bowl contender because the rest of their roster is that close, then I think that reflects negatively because it's just completely out of touch with reality. That's how I would say. But I'm playing devil's advocate on myself here because I actually do think it's good that they seem to be trying to cast a wide net.
I don't look at a 25-year-old quarterback as a Mr. Right Now. Mr. Right Now is a quarterback that's in his mid to late 30s, and you know it's a Band-Aid and it's a 1 or 2 year solution max. Lawrence could potentially be your quarterback for the next 10 years. That's why the Jaguars signed him to a second
contract.
Another
part of this that I think is very – another piece to this that I think is very interesting that hasn't come up yet in the first couple minutes here. I know the Jags signed him to a deal. I know they obviously – what is his nickname? The Prince Who Was Promised?
The Prince Who Was Promised.
Is that a Game of Thrones reference?
That is a Nick Wright nickname.
But isn't the Prince Who Was Promised from Game of Thrones?
It is. Okay. I didn't know Nick was a Game of Thrones fan, but evidently he is.
Here's what gets me about this. We saw six games of Justin Fields last year. He went 4-2. There was a groundswell of support to actually keep him as the starting quarterback. Tomlin lone wolfed his way into saying it's going to be Russ.
The Lone Ranger, he called himself.
I'm sorry, yes. Who did the Lone Ranger roll with? Tonto. And then Hi-Ho Silver was the horse?
I believe so.
Okay. We heard many times, you were one of the people reporting this from the inside, that the Steelers in Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence's draft year preferred Fields to Lawrence.
Yes.
That if he had had pick 1-1, he would have pounded the table for Justin Fields.
Other people have said that too. I'm not the only one. I'm not a Lone Ranger on that.
Okay, I'm not trying to staple you to an opinion that people are going to down talk. I think, yes, you were one of many. What could have possibly happened in six games of Justin Fields? And what could have happened so far in Trevor Lawrence's career to like suddenly have disabused Mike Tomlin of that opinion? So Fields has gone that far down the line for him in six games, and watching a pretty uneven career thus far for Trevor Lawrence has suddenly enhanced his stock.
Body of work.
I don't think the body of work for Trevor Lawrence is anywhere near like overwhelming enough where you'd say, ah, yes, this totally changed my opinion of this player in the NFL. Like, I just don't. The guy's turned the ball over, I think it's something like 68 times in 4 years.
He's not been a good quarterback. He hasn't lived up to the number one pick billing. He hasn't lived up to the generational talent label that was put on him either.
But so I'm saying neither guy has an impressive body of work, and I guess my point here, Pony, is if the head coach, who we know has enormous say in personnel, liked the guy that was on his team last year when they were both in the draft, what could Trevor Lawrence have possibly done to have swayed him thus far? Came in here and won a game in the rain against Kenny Pickett in 2023?
Won a playoff game in Jacksonville, which is not easy to do because it's a pretty sad sack.
I mean, didn't he have one of the more psychotic performances you'd ever see, though? It was a game where I think Tomlin would have just abandoned the pass altogether. He threw like four picks in
that game. It was horrible
in
the first half
and then
incredible
in the second
half. Yeah.
I mean, I look at the turnover numbers, and I'm not necessarily saying this is how I feel about quarterbacks. I think turnovers can sometimes be very overrated. I think, like, Josh Allen sort of proved that last year. He was still very good when he turned the ball over a lot. He's thrown 46 picks. He's fumbled and lost the ball 22 times. You don't think that would give Mike Tomlin hives thinking about having his quarterback doing that?
That's why there's such the wording of Kabali's tweet makes it seem like it is a vociferous denial of this. Like, they don't want their name attached to the pursuit of Trevor Lawrence.
I don't buy that. I think that's thou doth protest too much. I do. I don't believe Mark's, like, or whatever somebody, let me be careful here because I don't want to sound like I'm ripping Mark, because then Mark will text me and then I'll have to, you know, waste time texting him back. I think what they told him or what he was hearing on the inside there is not true. I think they told him something false. I actually think it is much more believable that they would have inquired because they are actually beating the bushes a little bit and because there is some level of recognition that they need an upgrade at that position and they're exploring all avenues. That doesn't mean it necessarily was like a very serious conversation.
The first place you should go to look for your quarterback, you should go to the aisle of the store where there are guys that can fix your problem for an extended period of time. And Trevor Lawrence might be able to do that. You have put forth a strong argument for why the guy has been an underachiever and might never live up to that promise in the NFL. But if my options are status quo with Wilson or Fields, or at least explore the idea of Trevor Lawrence, the Lawrence thing sounds way better than me. Way better to me.
Well, I think the thing that appeals to anybody who's watched about Trevor Lawrence is you can't deny the physical gifts that are there. He's a little younger than Fields, not quite a year younger. Like, you can't teach 6'6", 225, actually can run, has pretty much every throw in the book. What gives a guy like me a born cynic pause is why has it never – by the way, I would say better coaching. Doug Peterson, at least offensively speaking, you'd think is better coaching than the Steelers have had. Why is it never taken off?
Yeah.
You have to put agency on the player there.
No, I
think.
Know.
He and Fields had remarkably similar, like, four-year arcs. Do you realize that?
Where they both had one big year in 2022?
The second year, they both are getting MVP votes.
Yeah, Lawrence finished seventh in the MVP that year. Only four quarterbacks finished ahead of him.
He was also on the comeback player of the year ballot that year. Why? He sucked as a rookie and then got on the ballot?
Yeah, that's how Joe Flacco won.
I do think, like, there's similar questions, even though he has even more pedigree than Fields, because I think Tomlin would have been pretty much on an island preferring Fields to Lawrence in that draft class. I don't think many people shared that opinion pre-draft. They've had remarkably similar career arcs. Lawrence has won more games and has won a playoff game, but that's about it.
But he's got better tools to succeed in the NFL than Fields.
He does, but like that also gives me pause as to the fact that those tools that are better suited for NFL success really have not shown themselves over a consistent period of time. I randomly listened to a podcast that happens to be, like, one of the people on it is a pretty big Jags fan. And, like, the book on him down there is they wonder, essentially, is Trevor Lawrence, like, sharp enough mentally to run NFL offenses?
Well, then that's another part of this I don't get. Because, like, the people that cover the Jaguars seem to want to, like, also, like, poo-poo this as if it would be, like, verboten on the Jaguars' part to even consider something like this. When, to your point, Lawrence
fans down there, I don't think, are that
underachieved.
Happy. Yeah.
It is so plausible to me that if I were running a football team without a quarterback in a team that has a top five pick, has fired its general manager because the coach they hired did not want to work with that GM. That's why the GM got fired.
Yeah,
so
bulky.
For the moment, the head coach is in charge of the organization.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
They have a top five pick. There are two quarterbacks that might go around the fifth pick. I'd at least be interested in finding out, does this guy prefer Trevor Lawrence or one of the two quarterbacks in the draft? And the only way I get an answer on that is if I call. It's not out of the question. I mean, we saw Cliff Kingsbury dump Josh Rosen for Kyler Murray. That ended up being the right move. Teams do that more and more now. The Steelers cut Liam Cohen, Kenny Pickett after 2 years.
Liam Cohen would be dumping, as the new coach there, would be dumping Lawrence. It's not analogous to Rosen because Rosen had done, like, basically nothing. Lawrence has at least, like, been to a playoff game, like, shown some level
right,
of confidence.
Right, but I guarantee you there's a school of thought in the NFL that if you had your two options, either start fresh with a rookie quarterback, or if there's a guy making $50 million a year who you think is okay,
yeah, you'd
but
start
not
fresh.
Gonna, right.
Yes, because there's no scar tissue, there's no bad habits. But here's the thing about Liam Cohen. He actually has experience taking a former number one
no
overall
doubt.
Pick and getting but that scar tissue
that's,
fixed.
That's why all I'm saying is I am making an impassioned argument for I hope this happened and I think it was a good idea. Just figure out if the guy's available and then go from there. If he is, well, then have an extended conversation about it.
I'm not a Trevor Lawrence fan, really, but I can understand why a team would be intrigued at the bare minimum by it. Like, I think the story here is not, like, should the Steelers want Trevor Lawrence? I mean, you can obviously, people should and can have their opinions on what they think of the player, but the real story for me is the macro story of how motivated is this team to understand, like, where they're at and what they need. Like, it's about their process more than it is about the actual outcome of the
call. I'm discouraged if Mark is right. And they're going out of their way to say, no, we want no part of, we have zero
I think it's actually,
in a guy
I think
like
it's
this.
More plausible that they're not telling Mark the truth. I do. I think it's a lot more plausible that they did call, that they at least just wanted to get a little, like, you know, get the bloodhound nose out there. And then, yeah, if they get rebuffed completely because Liam Cohen actually says, no, the guy who was the number one overall pick, I do want to build around him, I'm comfortable with him. Like, you would have to think. You'd have to think if Liam Cohen takes that job and it's because he didn't want to work with Balky and he gets Balky out of there. I mean, you have to also consider, he might want to move on from Lawrence, but he might have also taken the job specifically because he does like Trevor Lawrence.
You got to find out.
And he thinks that the GM there was the guy standing in the way of building a good team around Trevor Lawrence.
And that's why I say it doesn't hurt to ask.
I also thought that the Jags team account was very conspicuous in this whole thing.
Why? What happened?
They sent out a video that was very obviously trolling the idea that they would be wanting to trade him. It was a video of their new, I think, OC, Udzinski or whatever it is, talking about how much he cannot wait to work with Trevor
Lawrence.
Well,
right. I mean, they don't want this out there. They want their guy to think that they're completely 100% committed to him. A denial from the Jaguars does not surprise me whatsoever because the trade hasn't happened, and they don't want Lawrence
thinking. I don't think the trade's going to happen.
Either do I. They don't want. It's not going to happen. They don't want Lawrence thinking about it. It's the Steelers saying, no, we're not interested in Trevor Lawrence, that boggles my mind. because what? You're loyal to Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? You think one of those? All right, we are at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook for our normal Thursday afternoon broadcasts here. We do have tickets to give away to our 15th anniversary party, which will be held right here at the Rivers upstairs in the event room. It's going to be a huge event. All you have to do is stop by. We're next to the bar here in the sportsbook area. There's a broadcast light sign above Mulsey's head. It doesn't say on air. It says bar, which I've never really understood.
Kind of a nice, like, you know, weird change of pace.
But that's where we're at when people show up here. And Seth the MILF Hunter is to my left. He's got the passes. You ask for him, and you're good to go. No information necessary, no credit card, no ID, none of that. Just come by. Say you want to be a part of our big 15th anniversary event, and you're gold. And we'll be doing that until 6 o'clock here at the Rivers Casino. If you can't make it here, Donnie will be at the Pine Richland Community Center Saturday from 9:30 to 10:30, giving away tickets as well. So we got you covered. Big names. I was texting with someone trying to lock down a couple of big Pirates names from the last 15 years.
And?
For this event.
How was that going?
Still waiting to hear back. I will give you a hint. I'll give you and Donnie hints. Two men that are identifiable with the Pirates renaissance from 2013 to 2015. Two guys. And you'll get three strikes here.
These are the people you are efforting.
Efforting.
As we say in the business.
I think very much could be a part of this event.
A.J. Burnett.
Yep.
Are these all players or could it be other personnel?
You know, it could be anywhere.
Clint Hurdle.
Yep. Two for two.
Jason Grilley.
Nope. Mulsey already got it. Burnett and Hurdle.
I thought you said there were three people.
I said three strikes, like I was going to give you guys three chances
to
be
wrong. Yeah, I thought there were three people.
No, two guys, and I was going to give you three wrong answers. Yeah.
I mean, didn't Clint Hurdle give me a birthday wish or something, like a cameo?
Donnie, do we have that back at the ranch? If it's not in my folder, you might have to go to the secret Duquesne folder.
Oh, now it's not a secret anymore. It's the folder marked Duquesne.
Which
I'm sure our friends at Duquesne are happy to have their name associated with our folder of all of our, like, of our little treasure trove.
Well,
stuff.
Can I give you a little inside baseball for a second?
Pony, I think we're already playing inside baseball. You might as well keep backing me off the plate here.
Did you not label it with his name?
If you just put Hurdle, if it's not in one of those two places, then the silly thing we have where everything gets reset, like things get deleted.
Oh, things get deleted all the time out of that system now. There's like an auto.
I mean, I could go back to Cameo and get it, but that would take some time.
Man, you've had Joy Taylor throw a Cameo my way.
I probably still have that saved somewhere. Well,
yep,
I think...
Not in here.
Not in here, yeah.
All right.
That's a bummer. But, so I started having to hide things because what would happen is I would cut up audio for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes Austin would use it, like, right before we went on
the air. So this is specifically an Austin problem that you had to solve.
I'm not even saying it's an... I'm not blaming Austin.
Isn't that kind of... That's decent producing work by him.
Austin's trying to get something that his guys want.
Uh-huh.
And
he would go looking to see if you had already done it.
If it happened, you know, like if they did it at 12:30, awesome. But twice it happened where something got played at like 1:40, and I'm like, damn it, we were just going to play that at 2.
Never had to worry about that with Callis. He was still trying to figure out what school Pat Freiermuth went to.
He got that wrong?
Yeah, he thought he went to Pitt.
No, he didn't. See, that's why that whole thing is a bit. I told you guys that. I told you that's not real.
It's definitely real.
No, it's not.
It's real that he doesn't know.
That he doesn't know lot of current events things
that's
in
a
sports?
Shoot. That's a shoot, not a work.
No, because here's the thing about that. If that's actually true, that he doesn't know where Freiermuth went to school, then he shouldn't be doing an early morning show. I'm going to go as far as to say that.
Like, I don't think he knows where Najee Harris went to school.
Is that true, Donnie?
I'd have to go back and review
the
Freiermuth thing's a joke.
Freiermuth thing happened because texting me, wait, Callis thinks he went to Pitt?
He's sat in there and heard those guys talk about how they both like Pat, even though he didn't go to West Virginia and Pitt and
theoretically
played for a rival.
We know
so he doesn't listen to the show he's producing?
I don't think that's beyond, you know, the pail
here. Either way, it's a horrible look for him.
Like, he might be thinking of Phil Rizzuto and old Yankees from back in the day when those guys are talking about whatever.
Like, I understand
he's talking about Billy Martin.
No, he doesn't know who Billy Martin is.
He absolutely knows who Billy Martin is.
No, he doesn't.
Donnie, you think he knows who Billy Martin is?
No, he's not a Yankees historian. He knows Yankees baseball from, like, the last 20
years. I think he knows who Billy Martin is.
So he could tell us what years he won the World Series there? Zero chance.
I mean, you can put him to that test if you want to. I mean, I made a comment today because he asked me about my Pirates frustration, and I said it's easy to hear that coming from a Yankees fan.
And what did he say?
Oh, well, I didn't always I didn't realize as a young kid until I was a few years old the American League was a thing. But now I didn't really understand his argument. Like, once he discovered,
didn't understand that the American League was a thing?
Like, once he discovered the American League, he decided to root for the Yankees.
So he's,
I think
he
just
loves
realized the Yankees were good.
I was going to say, it just sounds like Harry Callis is a huge front runner.
I don't know. I love those guys. I think they do a fantastic job. And there's going to be a butt here.
Yes, obviously.
I really mean this. I think Doran has transitioned from doing pitch stuff to being on air every day. I think he's doing a tremendous job. I think Crowley is a great talent in this industry. A comment got made to Donnie, though, about us that still is not sitting well with me. Let me just put it that way.
A comment got made to us by them?
A comment got made to Donnie about us that I'm not thrilled with.
By one of those guys?
Yes. Yeah.
You gonna tell me?
I don't think it was necessary, and I don't want to get into a war with anybody.
It sounds to me like you don't want to say it to me. Period. Because you know,
I'm just not a fan.
You know that old Mulsey can go from 0 to 100 very quickly.
I'm just not a fan of the comment. That's all. And
you want to talk about inside baseball? You're throwing pitchers into the crowd now.
I've been nothing but extremely supportive of them, and I will continue to be. But I'm just not happy that a comment got made to him.
Was
That's
it
all.
As bad as me being called Bald Kellerman by Mac years ago?
Nah.
Or Pitt Bayless and Bald Bayless. Kellerman?
No, I guess it's not. I don't know. I'm trying to think it like. No, because those seem more mean-spirited. Like, I felt like there was, like, legitimate beef there when they would say those things about us. Like,
yeah.
They really didn't like us. I think Crowley and Doran, maybe I'm naive to think this, I think they do like us. But I'm just not thrilled with a comment that got made to Donnie about us. That's all. I don't know if Donnie took it as personally as I did, but I'm taking it very personally, as you can tell.
Well, I know which one of them made the comment then, because there's only like one of them that I would have run into Donnie today.
Donnie, do you think I'm right to take it personally?
I guess. I mean, I wasn't really all that hurt by it, but I could see you guys more specifically than me, even though I've been a part of the show for over 3 years now.
You've been a part of the show for the glory years.
Right, Donnie. So you should take it. You should take offense to it then.
Show took off on a rocket ship when we finally blew Craig out of there and you stepped in.
You should take it personally.
I try to brush that stuff off.
Okay, let me just one more.
Oh, yeah?
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
If you were actually a full-time host on this show and not labeled as a quote-unquote producer and the comment got said, would it piss you off more?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Just need to get that out there.
Okay. That's a very honest answer from old Don.
So get down here. We've got tickets to our great 15th anniversary. Maybe at this event I'll let the beef out and we can have a nice conversation about it.
Well, I can tell people who
But it will not be confrontational like some other station events that we've had over the years. We're going to avoid that.
No,
we can talk about what that was and let the cat out of the bag.
I'm a good little Fonzie. I'll be on my best behavior. But I do have many, like I've been thinking about this event a lot. Because I want the people who
we should
show
talk
up to
about
this
some
event.
Of those moments that
well,
went
yeah,
wrong.
The people who show up to this event, I want them to truly get. Now I say get their money's worth, but it's a free event. That's why it's awesome. But I want people to really feel like, wow, those guys like spilled the tea a little bit. Working overnight, there truly were just some absolutely random and sometimes very embarrassing things that happened that I know I have not really said anything about at length, and I will happily divulge all of that stuff, even if it's just to you personally. If you show up to the event and you're just shooting the breeze with us, I'll be telling those kind of tales out of school.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. Our 15th anniversary huge party will be held upstairs here. Tickets are free, but you have to pick them up. At our various ticket drops, you can go to 937thefan.com to get more information on that. or you could just show up today between now and 6 o'clock and get tickets at the jam-packed Rivers Casino Sportsbook. Fans getting here already in anticipation of tonight's Four Nations game between the United States and Finland. All right, Jason Mackey with us. Jason, let's go to the Spencer Horwitz thing. Does the medical report and the surgery reflect poorly on the Pirates for trading for him? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it does, Andrew. And I'm confused by what we're looking at. Honestly, we were told it's a chronic injury. And then Ben Cherington yesterday said that this is a new injury. So what is it? Does he also have a chronic injury in addition to this? I didn't like the trade time that it happened. I thought they gave up too much. And now we're talking about a guy with a chronic injury and maybe two injuries. And they've given up that much pitching to do it? Yeah, I would have some serious questions.
You said he was on thin ice with the owner to begin with. This can't help his standing with the owner of the baseball team, I wouldn't think.
No, I don't think so either, Andrew. That's what I was alluding to. If I'm Bob Nutting, I'm asking very seriously. Like, yeah, I know the budget's tight. You don't have a lot to work with. I still don't think this was a very smart trade. I think they could have done a lot better for themselves. And why do you pull the trigger on that trade on December 9th or whatever it was? Like, I didn't understand that then, and I don't get it now.
Jason, just a very quick point of order question here. Hopefully you can shed some light on this before I get to anything else that I wanted to ask you about. When Ben makes a trade like this Horwitz trade, is it your understanding that he needs to run it by on all levels? Like, hey, this is the player's health, injury history, etc. Does he need to run it by Bob? Would Bob have been privy to discussions that revealed that this Horwitz had a chronic wrist issue? Or would that have been something Bob is finding out about well after the fact in your understanding of their hierarchy and how they do this?
The second part, Chris. I don't think Bob would have had any knowledge about this happening until after it happened.
Do you put any stock in this idea that their biggest move of the offseason still hasn't happened yet?
No, I don't. I think they could have another move. That wouldn't surprise me. I don't think they're satisfied with where they're at offensively. So if they could find another move to help the offense, I think, yes, that would fit. But I mean, like, the idea that there's some, you know, banger of a move coming, and no, I don't think so. I just think that, you know, it could be a Michael A. Taylor thing. And again, please don't take that as like I'm presenting this as like the savior coming in here. I'm not. But could they add somebody throughout spring training that is like, yeah, this guy might play a little. He might help a tad. Like, yeah, I could see that.
Jason, what do you think if you could give Ben Cherington and the rest of the staff, you know, Derek Shelton truth serum, number of games Ke'Bryan Hayes plays this year where they'd say they would be happy?
I mean, I don't think it's so much about a number, Chris, and I'm not trying to wiggle out of the question. I'd say 130 just to give you a number, but I mean, I think they need to keep him healthy, and I think they would be happy with that. I think they're okay resting him a little bit more. That's one of the reasons they brought in Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Like, if you can give him some regular days off and make sure this issue does not flare up again, I think they would be happy. Right now, they're in a good place with him. And I do believe, you know, not just from talking to the team, from talking to people close to Key, that he genuinely feels good right now and feels like he's got this solved. Now, who knows if it creeps up again in May or June, but where Cherington and Shelton are basically just like, we got to get this guy healthy. We know what he means. We know how we can improve our team if we keep him on the field. It's just so tricky, and it scares me with all of the issues that he's had.
Can you go back into a timeline of when they gave him the extension? Were there any back issues happening whatsoever at that point in time, Jason? Because I honestly couldn't remember the timeline here when I was trying to think of it.
No, and I was on the beat and around Key and around, you know, all this stuff a lot. And no, I mean, I had no knowledge of it. I don't think they had any knowledge of it. I don't think – I mean, I remember that time, like that off season, talking to people close to Key and around the team and stuff about how like maniacal of an off season he had, because remember that was coming off the September 2020 where he was really good, like, you know, the 1.014 OPS or something ridiculous like that. So no, I mean, they didn't give him that at that time thinking that there was going to be any injury concerns.
Jason, when his brother puts out very negative comments about the Pirates on social media, do you think any of that is Ke'Bryan Hayes' opinion that gets shared with his brother?
No.
Do you think that's just a guy acting on his own?
I think that's a guy acting on his own. And I think it's his dad, too. Like, when you see stuff with the dad, like, I think the dad gets frustrated and the dad should probably zip it. But, like, I've always pushed back on this idea that Key Bryan is unhappy here or something like that, because I don't think that's true. I mean, I've talked to Key about it. He could obviously be lying. But, no, I think he likes how low-key this is here. Like, I don't think he's kind of like Reynolds. I don't think he would do well in a more highly scrutinized or, you know, like a big market where every single thing he does is going to be a big deal. Like, no, I genuinely think that's the brother or the dad acting on their own.
Jason, just putting you on the spot here. Let's, for argument's sake, say that the Four Nations face-off is a pretty big deal because, frankly, to Canada, and I would imagine a lot of U.S. hockey fans and Swedish fans and Finnish fans, it actually is. Is this the last time we will watch Sidney Crosby playing in games of major consequence like this? As Penguins fans?
Man, I've thought about that, Chris. I hate to admit that, but I think you're probably right. I don't see how they can get this turned around that quickly to, like, get Sid. And I know you mean, like, you know, probably Eastern Conference Final or Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I'm talking
Cup.
About NHL games. I'll cut right to the chase. Yeah. I mean, still hanging around in the Olympics and doing great things in 2030 or whatever it is when they're going to have NHL players maybe, you know, back at it, that's one thing.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it like, okay, they might get this turned around and get to the playoffs or something like that, but I don't see them, you know, coming up with another cup run. I mean, maybe that's naive on my part. Like, I just don't see them, like, having another deep playoff run while Sid's here. I just think that's a really, really, really hard thing to do. So,
did the Penguins ever give you crap?
Outside of international stuff.
Jason, did the Penguins ever give you crap for writing that Sullivan should have been fired? Earlier this year, I know that sometimes the organization get a little sensitive on things.
I've never heard a peep from them about anything, and it wouldn't change anything I wrote one bit.
There you go.
Well, that just might be because the ownership isn't even aware of anything that's going on.
I don't know. They know how to find me. I mean, I'm not hard to find, but no,
Jason,
I've never heard anything.
Thank you. We'll be listening to you, and we'll be reading you in the Post-Gazette. Jason Mack.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right.